As I was preparing for today, that phrase came up in my spirit, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And it took me, and I said, "Okay, Father, what specifically are you meaning?" And he said, "Well, what's it like in heaven?" Okay, so I'm going to put that question to you. What do you think heaven's like? You start thinking about what heaven is like, because God's will is manifest in heaven. And the first thing that came to me, obviously, is there's no curse there. Nothing of the curse. No aging, no degradation, no corruption, no sickness, no disease, no anxiety, no fear. Nothing of that is in heaven. So when we pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," there's the first one. There is no curse able, or should be able, to touch us, to live in us, to operate in us, or in our families. Why? Because Galatians 3:13 says we have been redeemed from the curse of the law, because Jesus became the curse for us. His death took the curse. Now in the working out of our salvation is us learning to live in the freedom that he purchased through his death. We died to the curse, so you're set free from it. So yes, you can live as long as you want and get younger every year. In fact, it can happen right now. Go back to being 35. Praise God. That's the way God designed it. He wants that. Okay, so there's no curse there. What else do you find in heaven? There's no darkness. There is no darkness. Everything is light. No shadows, no darkness, no anything that goes with darkness. No despair, no lack, no fear. Nothing like that. It's all light. There's no, already said it, but there's no decay. There's no death. Because darkness is equated with death. There you go. No people you find hard to love. Yeah. Well, it's happening here first, yeah? The love of God shed abroad in our hearts. We love people. We love God's creation. We love what he has done in us. Yeah, his love shed abroad does that. All right? Now, here's another one. Heaven is full of celebration. They say, the angels rejoice over one sinner that repents. So really, heaven is full of joy. That's the topic for today. Intimacy releases joy. I believe it was C.S. Lewis made this statement, which is kind of a tautology, but it says, joy is the most serious business of heaven. Joy is the most serious business of heaven. That's what God wants. Joy. Now, you know the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. What's the second one? Joy. Love, joy, peace. And then it goes on down the list, okay? But joy is the most serious business of heaven. Why? Because we have a happy God. He's a celebrating God. You think about the prodigal father, the son that went off and spent all his dad's living and came back. What did the prodigal father do? First thing he does, let's have a party. Son's come home. Time to celebrate and have fun. Why? Because that's the joy that God wants us living in. And so he gave me that topic today and said, talk about joy, because that's what intimacy releases. The more you get to know the Father, the more we spend time in his presence, the more his joy manifests in us. It says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, and that love is a joyful love. It's a love that produces celebration, produces joy, produces every good thing that we've got. So turn to Romans 14. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures today, if I can get through them in time. I'm just going to touch on a few things and share a few encouraging words. But this is Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. And it says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. We know all three of those. Righteousness, that's who you are. The fact that you're in the kingdom of God means you are righteous. You've been made holy just like God. We are one with him. We are in union with him. As he is, so are we in this earth. Not just in this earth, but in this life, which is your eternal life, wherever you go. So here it's righteousness and peace. The word erene in the Greek, shalom in the Hebrew. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Everything supplied, everything at ease, everything enjoyable, everything blessed. So that's the shalom, the peace, and joy. And that's the one you don't hear talked about very much. But the kingdom of heaven is a joyful kingdom. It's a celebratory kingdom. It's a fun kingdom. It's a place of laughter, place of enjoyment. Most people think of the kingdom of heaven, we say, well, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, yeah, that's real serious. You know, you've got to go to church and sit there quietly and... No, I think we're coming into days when church is going to be a loud place, a place of singing and dancing and laughter and clapping and celebration. And you know, another word that comes out is the word pleasure. Joy is pleasure. It's an outflow of love. That's what joy is. It's a manifestation of love. When you know you're deeply loved, when you live in that love, you can't help but be joyful. Why? Because you know God's got your back. God's looking after you. God's got your future. He's got everything for you. And all we do is follow, live our life celebrating his goodness. So, the kingdom of God, is that the kingdom you're in? You have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his Son. So you live in the kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy. That's the manifestation of life in God's life. I think that's part of why the angels constantly go around the throne going, holy, 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 because they see another aspect of God. Another of that aspect is the joy and the celebration. And apparently theologians from way back have called it the celebrative constancy. That's who God is. He's always celebrating, always joyful, always rejoicing. Never thinks bad, never has anything evil in him, doesn't have anything of that stuff that's not there. His thoughts are all good. So joy, it's a key part of our lives. And we're going to manifest that more and more in the days ahead. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, just going to take you through a number of scriptures, but these two to start with. Acts chapter 2, verse 28. I'm just going to read 28, and then we're going to go across to where it's quoted from. It says, "Thou hast known me, hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance." All right, now this is a quote out of Psalm 16, and we're going to read that psalm in a minute. But this is Peter in the message on the day of Pentecost, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the Jews came and said, "What's going on here?" And this is the message Peter gave them. And he quotes, talking about Jesus, obviously. He's quoting the scripture that talked about Jesus. And this is what Jesus, the prophecy about Jesus said, "Thou hast made known to me the ways of life." Now, Jesus died to give us the ways of life. He was raised to manifest the ways of life. And the phrase that really stood out to me is, "Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance." Now, thy countenance, as you know, typically refers to the face, your countenance, the way you look, the way you radiate, the energy that you put forward, whether it's positive or negative, the smile on your face, all of you, right? Yeah, we all smile. You're allowed to smile. Okay, I'm getting happy up here. The joy of your countenance. Now, if the countenance is sad and drawn and upset, does that fill you with joy? So if you get filled with the joy of God's countenance, what does his countenance look like? That's where you get the happy God from, right? He's a joyful God, laughing, having fun, and just full of pleasures. Okay, go over to Psalm chapter 16, which is where that passage is quoted from. Psalm chapter 16, beginning in verse 8. "I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved." Now, that word in the Hebrew there, the "he is not actually in there. It's added by the translators. Literally what it says is, "I have set the Lord always before me." In other words, I have chosen to fix my gaze on him. He is the one I follow. He is the one I live for. He is the one I live in. "Because at my right hand, I shall not be moved." What that's saying is, at God's right hand, because that's where you are, and you have your face fixed on him, you shall not be moved. Are you seated at the right hand of the Father? That's what Scripture tells us, right? You're sitting here in this natural world, but you're also seated at the right hand of the Father. And so here where it says, "you shall not be moved," that means you have a permanent place. You are there for eternity. Thank you, Jesus. Now, you can be in multiple places at once, obviously, based on this. All right, we'll carry on. "I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad." Now, this is definitely a prophecy that applied to Jesus. And if it applied to Jesus, you can receive it as well, because we are in him. "Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope." Dig into those too, but your physical flesh rests in hope. Why? Knowing that God has destined it for immortality, that this body will ever live, delivered from the curse. All right, verse 10, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell." Obviously, that's a prophecy about Jesus. He went to hell on our behalf. God didn't leave him there. Therefore, he doesn't leave us there. What is hell? Hell is simply separation from God, eternal separation from God. So yes, we were separated from God for a long time till we received Jesus. Now we're back in him. We will never undergo corruption. So it says here, "You'll not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt you suffer your Holy One to see corruption." All the scholars talk about that being a prophecy of Jesus going 3 days in the grave and being raised, and his body didn't corrupt in the 3 days he was in the grave. But I want to take that and extend it to us today, because we are in Jesus. What does it say there? "You will not leave my soul in hell, neither will you suffer your Holy One." Are you holy? Yes. Why? Because we're in Jesus. "You will not suffer your Holy One to see corruption." Thank you, Jesus. There's another good scripture. Nothing of the curse operating in our bodies. Living in the life of God. All right. Put that one and meditate on that and let that get into your being, because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So when you let this manifest out of your heart, change the way you think to realize, my body doesn't see corruption. I live divinely healthy. Undergo decay. Yeah, that's a good translation. It doesn't undergo decay, doesn't get old, doesn't suffer with the natural things of the curse. So we get to live free from all that. Verse 11, and this is the one that I read verse 28 in Acts 2. This is the quote. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Acts chapter 2, it says, you lead me in the paths of life. You will show me. Right? You have shown me, you have taught me the path of life. What is the path of life for us? Resting in Jesus, living in him, letting him lead and direct us. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Wow. In thy presence is fullness of joy. That alone tells you what God's presence is like. If you didn't think God was a God of joy, you just read it right there, okay? In your presence is fullness of joy. Acts 2, Peter quotes it as, thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. In the Psalms it says, in thy presence, which is thy countenance, is fullness of joy. And then it goes even further. At thy right hand are pleasures evermore. Again, coming back to, where are you seated? At the right hand of the Father. At thy right hand are pleasures evermore. Now there's a dual meaning to that. What's at the Father's right hand? Jesus and us. Therefore you are a pleasure to God. Do you see that? At thy right hand are pleasures evermore. We are a pleasure to God. He delights in us. He celebrates us. He loves us. He blesses us. He is thrilled with us. He embraces us. We are in him, at his right hand. That's where we are, our pleasures evermore. So we give him pleasure. We fulfill his joy. But not only that, there's the other side of it too. At his right hand, you get to live in pleasure, because that's where we are. Pleasure is supposed to be part of life. You're supposed to enjoy life. Life is supposed to be a fun thing. Not supposed to be a struggle and a stress and a trial and a... No, you find fulfillment in this life. You find enjoyment. That's what family's about. You enjoy family. You get together. You celebrate together. We as a family celebrate together. We enjoy everything God's done for us. So at his right hand are pleasures evermore. You and everything you get to enjoy. If you are God's pleasure, then when you are happy, when you're in joy, that increases his pleasure. When you're struggling and sad, what do you think that does to him? So that's not the way I want my family. You look at your own children. You don't want them struggling and hurting and sick and any. No, you want them delivered from that. You want them living in pleasure, living in the blessing, living in joy. And that's what God has said is our portion. All right. So when I, after the Lord told me that topic, I started looking at the Hebrew words for joy. Do you know, there are at least 12 words used for joy in Hebrew. Okay, at least 12. And all I looked up was joy. I didn't look at rejoice. I didn't look at celebrate. I didn't look at any others. But there's probably lots and lots of words referred to or are related to joy. Why? Because joy is the business of the kingdom. That's what God's about. Here are some of the meanings of those 12 words. I just put down a list of all the different things that showed up. Okay, so here we go. From the 12 words for joy, you get jubilee. And here's one of the most amazing things that stood out to me. All of the words emphasize noise, shouting, and celebration. All the Hebrew words are to do with, and in every one of them, there was shout, exclaim, rejoice, celebrate. Okay? So it's not a quiet thing. You know that? And what came to me when I was thinking about that, you realize in Revelation where it says, when he blew the seventh trumpet? No, it wasn't. It was opened the seventh vial. There was silence in heaven for half an hour. That is probably one of the most profound things. Why? Because all of the universe sings and resonates and frequencies of different music and celebration and rejoicing and worshiping God. And when silence hits, 30 minutes. That's a huge thing, okay? Anyway, back to the topic here. The celebration of God. All of it is about the noise. So here are the words. Shout for joy, rejoice. Cry out joy, a joyful sound, sing, triumph, mirth, pleasure. Now, here's a good English word, blithesomeness. Blithesomeness. I figured probably not many people would know that one. Blithesome means, it's an old English, yeah, I'm sure, but it's in Strong's, okay, so it's a valid word. But blithesome means careless. You've got no carefree, you're carefree. Yeah, carefree, not careless, carefree. Blithesome means you're carefree, you have no worries. So blithesomeness means you're just having a great time, no worries, no struggles, no fret, just enjoying life. Blithesomeness is a new word you can put in your vocabulary. Go and shock your friends, say, yeah, I'm blithesome. Huh? Okay, carrying on. Another one, glee. Glee, full of glee. Cheerfulness, gladness, and delight. All of those are come out of those 12 Hebrew words that I looked up. So I'm going to give you four of them and give you the letters that make up them because they give us some more depth about how much God's whole being is about joy. Okay, so the first one is the word teruah. Teruah, and it's four letters. Taf, resh, ain, and hay. Now most of you already know most of what they mean. Taf is the cross. The cross. Resh is the head, typically referring to Jesus. The cross of Jesus, Taf Resh Ain, is the eye, the picture of the eye, which means to see, and Hay is grace. So the first word for joy that God puts out there is the cross of Jesus. In the cross of Jesus, see grace. See God's divine favor. See his joy. See his desires for you. See his overture of love, how he wants you living life in a celebration, in an enjoyment, in a fun-filled space, however you want to look at it. That's God's plan. Okay, second word, rene, three letters, resh, nun, and hay. Okay, resh is the head, again, referring to Jesus. Nun is the believer, talking about us. And the last one, hay, is grace. Grace is an embedded part of joy. The joy you have is because of God's grace, God's favor to us. And the actual, in Strong's, the meaning here for rene is shout, cry out for joy, sing or triumph. All right? And I forgot to write teruah. The previous word was jubilee, shout for joy and rejoice. The third word that I wrote down was ruah, resh, ain, two letters. Ruah, resh and ain, which means see Jesus. Ain is the eye. Resh is Jesus. See Jesus. There's all your joy. See Jesus. See what he's done for us. See how he's filled us with his life, given us everything that pertains to life and godliness, made us partakers of the divine nature, entwined us into him, embedded us in him, made us one with him. See Jesus. In him is the fullness of joy. And the last one, which is the one that appears most often, the most used, it was like 156 times this word is used, simchaye. Simchaya, something like that. Simchaya. And it's four letters. It's shin, mem, het, and hey. Right? So shin is the W in Hebrew, which refers to God, the Trinity, shin. Okay? God, Father, God, Son, God, Holy Spirit, shin. Now, typically, we refer to it as the Father. It means all three, because all three are one. And we are in shin. Okay? We are one with him. So shin mem is water, which is the picture of the Holy Spirit, the water of life. Het is the picture of a fence or a wall, and hay is grace. So another part of the celebration, and the Strong says it's exceeding gladness, mirth, exceeding pleasure, rejoicing and joy. They're the words that it translates as. And that word exceeding comes up a lot. It's not just a little bit of joy. This is surpassing, exceeding joy. Fullness of God's pleasure. So it's God himself, Father, by the Spirit, fencing in or hedging in grace around us, protecting the grace around us, making sure we have grace. I saw it a bit like a dam. You have this dam around you and this grace is poured in so they can't get away. Okay. Now, obviously, we let grace flow out and minister to others, but God wants us to know that his joy is permanent. It's not something that comes and goes. It's a living in his joy is a permanent state of being. That's what we are filled with. We're filled with love. We're filled with joy. Let's go and look at some other scriptures. Go to Psalm chapter 21. Psalm chapter 21. Beginning in verse 1. The king shall joy in your strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. Shall joy in your strength. Now that there obviously is, if you look at it from our perspective, we joy in the fact that God has given us his strength. That gives you joy knowing he has done that. O Lord, in your salvation, in your Yeshua is the Hebrew word, in your salvation, in Jesus, how greatly shall the king rejoice. How much I celebrate what Jesus has done. The word rejoice, I did look this one up here where it says, how greatly shall he rejoice. It's not any of the words I've given you already. This is another Hebrew word, and this is what Strong says it means. To spin around under violent emotion. In thy salvation, how greatly shall he spin around in violent emotion. I thought that was pretty cool. It's like you get so full of joy in life, you just can't sit still. It's like, thank you, Jesus. What you have done for us. Amen. In all of this, we keep hearing the term being drunk, right? Doesn't Paul say, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit? Why? Because the manifestation looks the same. Thank you, Jesus. In a good way, yeah. You're drunk in the sense of just enjoying the joy of the Lord. Yeah, that's what, drunk in joy. That's why people get drunk. They want to get joyful. They try and get rid of their negative emotions and try and get happy. Well, guess what? You don't have to get drunk with wine to get happy. You just enjoy the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit. He's the wine of God. So we live in that joy. All right, let's carry on reading. Verse 2. Thou hast given him his heart's desire. Thou hast not withholden the request of his lips. Selah. Meditate on that. Now, are you a king? So this applies to you. A king shall joy in thy strength. Verse 1, right? That's us, O Lord. And in thy salvation, in Jesus, how greatly shall he spin around with violent emotion. So when we all go crazy in this church, don't think it's bad, okay? It's part of what God does. Thou hast given him his heart's desire. He has given you your heart's desire to enjoy his presence, to live in joy, to have a fulfilling life. However you want to look at that, all the desires that God's put in you to fulfill your purpose in life. Thou hast not withholden the request of his lips. Selah. Isn't it in John? Jesus says a number of times, ask and you shall have. Ask the Father. He already knows what you need. He knows what you want. He will give it to you. He's not withholding it. God's not up there waiting for you to behave right. What he's waiting for is you to declare it. Because that's what that means. You say it. You declare it. Declare what God has put in your heart. And he doesn't withhold that request. So if you want to spend time in heaven, ask him. If you want to go visit the cosmos, ask him. If you want to live unlimited, tell him. Say what he puts in your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Let it come out of your mouth. Now, out of the mouth, the heart speaks. The mind listens. Your mind listens to what you say. So start learning to say what God says about us, that we are made in the image of God. He is our portion. Okay, verse 3. For thou preventest, and that means meets, it's not stops, okay? For you meet him with blessing of goodness. That should get you happy right there. He meets you with the blessings of goodness. And since he is a good God, that means all the wealth, all the riches, all the treasure, all the fruit, all the everything of God is what he meets you with. His grace, his supply, his enjoyment, his pleasure, his love. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. Thank you, Father. I have a crown of pure gold. Amen. You start reading something like this and you realize why the angels choose when your spark of you came from God. An angel said, I will go with that spark. I am committed to the life of that spark for eternity. Gave up everything of their station, whatever they were called to be with you. Thank you, Jesus. Because you are an incredible being that God has made. Verse 4, he asked life of thee. Who's that? The king asked life of thee and thou gavest him. Thank you, Jesus. You have life. And that's a joyful life. That's the Zoe life of God, the celebratory life of God, the happy life of God, the fullness of God's life, the rewarding of God's life. He asked you life, you gave it. Isn't that what Jesus said? I've come to give you life and life in its fullness in every area. The fullness of God. Okay, the next phrase, even length of days forever and ever. You can live as long as you want and you have plenty of time in every day to do what you need to do. That's length of days. The days fulfills, you get done what God's got for you to do, including spending plenty of time with him. Your testimony is that people caught up in the spirit and everything still gets done as God leads us and directs us. Okay, and verse 5-6, for thou hast made him most blessed forever. Oh, I missed verse 5. I'm sorry. His glory is great in thy salvation. His glory is great in thy salvation, in Yeshua. What's the glory there mean? The radiance, the joy. Don't you think about it? When you see a really happy person, there's a glory coming off them, right? You remember seeing the laughing policeman? That was a little video they used to put out. Did any of you ever see that? There was a video they put out called The Laughing Policeman, and there's this guy just starts laughing, a good belly laugh, and he's just laughing, laughing. And before long, the whole place is belly laughing. It's contagious. Everyone's just laughing and laughing and laughing just because of The Laughing Policeman. Yeah, he was laughing, everyone was laughing. That's what happens. Why? Because joy is contagious. Happiness is contagious. Laughter is contagious. And that's what it's saying here. His glory is great in thy salvation. In other words, we reflect the joy of what God has done for us, delivering us from the curse, giving us life and life abundantly. And great in thy salvation, honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him. That's you as a king, honor and majesty. Often we don't feel like that. We feel I'm just a little worm, as the scripture says. No, you're not. You're a king. God has given you honor and majesty. That's why the angels are committed to us, because we are a unique species, the new creation in Jesus, recreated to reflect God. Okay, verse 6, for thou hast made him most blessed forever. I don't know how you could get much better than this, right? This is you, most blessed forever. It's not just I occasionally give you a drop of blessing. No, this is the most blessed, full of life, full of enjoyment, having fun. God wants us. Ooh, and then he goes on. This is the phrase, the last phrase here I'm going to read. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. Same as chapter 21, right? Psalm 21. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. In other words, because we see the face of the Father, because we live in him, we are made exceeding glad. Wow. There's no excuse for being sad, depressed, feeling down, struggling. No, there's no reason for it. That's a wrong belief. What's that doing? That's putting more faith in the timeline of death than in the joy of God. So when you wake up in the morning, celebrate. Thank you, Jesus. Get another day on the earth. Hallelujah. And another day in heaven. Another opportunity to enjoy you. Okay, let's go over to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 12. Could go quite a while today if I don't get through this. Might have to cut it short. We'll see. Isaiah chapter 12. Go to verse 1. Start there. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He is also become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Okay, out of the depth of Jesus. This is Isaiah 12, verse 1 through 3. In that day you say, Lord, I will praise thee. Why? Because you have taken you out of the kingdom of darkness, out of separation, out of failure, out of every bad thing, where his anger was against us in terms of the curse operating. Now, he says, but God is my salvation, in him I trust. For the Lord Jehovah, Yahweh, is my strength and my song. Comes out again, the song, the celebration. He also has become my Yeshua, my salvation. Verse 3, therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of Yeshua. Now, if there's a well, what's in it represents the innermost being of that person. So coming out of Jesus, out of the well of Jesus, is joy. It's part of where you get the fact God is a joyful God. He lives in happiness. He celebrates. He's always happy. The happy God, okay, out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings. This is verse 4, among the people, making mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. He has done excellent things. That includes making you who you are. Thank you, Jesus. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. We live in Zion. We are Zion. We are Mount Zion. That's the New Jerusalem on Mount Zion. That's us. What it says there, cry aloud, out and shout. All the joy is all about. Thank you, Jesus. Don't be afraid to shout and cry out. Thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. In other words, he does everything you need. He is your God. Okay, Isaiah 35. I'm just going to quickly touch on a couple more of the joy. Now, Isaiah is in the process of being fulfilled. A lot of his scriptures are, the book is being fulfilled. Isaiah 35 verse 10 says, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs of everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Go over to 51 verse 11. Do you think if it's repeated, it's important? Okay, have a look at Isaiah 51 verse 11. It says this, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, for sorrow and mourning are gone, have fled away. Are you redeemed of the Lord? Are we brought back into him? Are we part of Zion? So we come in with singing, and what's on your head? Everlasting joy is your crown. Everlasting joy is upon your head. You obtain gladness and joy. You know, I saw an illustration once. The Lord just reminded me. You get a cup and you fill it with any type of dark liquid or whatever, okay? Put in there, let's say we put coffee in there. Anyway. Yeah, don't like coffee for those watching online. I'm not a fan of coffee. But be that as it may, okay. So this is what you do with coffee, okay? This is a real illustration of the joy and gladness of God, right? The coffee is not the joy and gladness of God, okay? It's the what you don't want. Okay, so you got this cup of coffee here. Now you take a pitcher of clean water and you start pouring it into that glass. In the near future, it's pure clean water inside it. That's what happens, what it's talking about. You're anointed with joy and gladness. It's like it gets poured into you and it replaces everything else that's in there. That's why you can't live sorrowful, struggling, in stress, hurting, straying. Why? Because the joy of the Lord, isn't that what this verse says? You've come with singing, he'll put it on your head, joy and gladness poured upon you. Everything else gets out of the way. So let the joy of the Lord flow. Let it be there. Let it be your portion. That's what he wants. Everlasting joy is upon your head, and you obtain gladness and joy. Now you can stop it. You can put your hand over the coffee cup and make the water not go into the cup. But if you've got any sense, you'll take your hand off and let the coffee disappear and have the good water instead. Oh, this is good. I'm glad I don't like coffee because I can use the good illustration. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, Isaiah 61. Let's get back to my notes. The serious business of joy. Thank you, Father. Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You know this passage really well because it's quoted. Jesus quoted it, okay? It's upon me because he has anointed me, what? To preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Now this passage applies to you as well. This is us now. Right? Jesus quoted it, said, this is why I've come. Well, you are now in him, you are fulfilling this as well. This is what we do. We preach all that stuff. We proclaim it. We declare it. We pray it over people. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. So these are Christians. Those that mourn in Zion. Do you know any Christians that are struggling, hurting, sad, depressed, addicted? Yeah. However you want to look at it. This is those in Zion, to appoint unto those in Zion to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. That's to fill them with the Holy Spirit. That's part of our job, is to bring to other Christians the joy of the Lord, to fill the anointing oil into their lives, to release them from the struggle they're under, to let them know God's already delivered you. Change the way you think. Repent. Think the way God thinks. Start resting in his completed work. Stop trying to fulfill everything in your own strength. Trying to do what you want to do. Let the oil of joy come in to remove that mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Why do we praise God? Because of his goodness to us. Because of his abundant grace. Because of everything he's given to us. We praise him. We celebrate him. That deals with the spirit of mourning and the spirit of heaviness. That what? That they might be called trees of righteousness, not saplings, big solid trees, established in righteousness. That's what God's called each of us to, and that's what we encourage each other in. Why we celebrate, have joy, have parties, have fun. Right? Because that's what God wants. He wants us becoming trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Why? That he might be glorified. No one likes people that are morose, people that are sad, people that stray. They're not people you want to be around. Now, we get to be around them because we want to love on them and let them know how good God is, but it doesn't mean you imbibe of their spirit. You want your spirit to go into them, okay? And that spirit is the planting of the Lord, the tree of righteousness, the joy that he might be glorified. Why? Because he wants everyone manifesting him, living in the joy of his life. Hallelujah. Okay, over to chapter 65 of Isaiah, verses 17 and 18. For behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth. The former shall not be remembered nor come to mind, but be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. That's who you are, a people of joy. Now, it's a little bit of an aside here, but I really haven't got time to get into it. But he says, I create a new heavens and a new earth. There's been a lot of eschatology teaching saying, you know, this current heaven and earth are going to be cast away and God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. But when you actually study out what it means, it's saying God takes the current heaven and earth and regenerates it or renews it. He doesn't dispose of it, but it says, well, the elements will melt with fervent heat. Well, that's the heat of God. That's God's glory, his presence through us, restoring all things, bringing this earth back into the way God designed it to be. I won't go into that, but that comes out of Revelation as well. All right, Revelation 21. Okay, let's go on to the next one. Zephaniah chapter 3. This is a challenge for you. Find the book of Zephaniah. The fourth to last one, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, comes after Habakkuk, or Habakkuk, as you say here, I think. We were taught Habakkuk. Okay, Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy, he will rest in his love, he will joy over thee with singing. You have a happy God. He rejoices over you. He celebrates you. He's joyful over you. He sings about you. And yet, a lot of Christians feel they're not worthy of No. God loves you with an everlasting love. He sings over you with joy. He rejoices over you with joy. He wants you full of joy. Okay, so that's the Old Covenant ones. Let's have a look at some of the New Covenant, not Old Covenant, Old Testament. Let's have a look at some of the New Testament words. Matthew chapter 13. Yeah, I'll read it. Okay. This is the parable, one of Jesus' parables. Matthew 13, verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for what? Joy. He goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Now, what is that parable talking about? Talking about Jesus. This is where I'm getting into the depth of Jesus' joy. Okay. Jesus says here, I found a field in which there was a treasure. Who is the treasure? Us. We are the treasure. He found a field called the earth in which there was a treasure. What did he do? He sold all, which is his life, right? He died, separated from God, to buy the field. Through his death and resurrection, he bought us. And why did he do it? It says there, for joy. For the joy thereof, he went and sold all that he had, that he could buy that field. What's that talking about? Have a look at Hebrews chapter 2. Scripture translating scripture. Hebrews chapter 2. Have a look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and completer of faith, who for what? The joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Why did Jesus go through the cross? For the joy set before him. What is the joy set before him? That we all get to be one with him. That we get to fulfill his joy. Now that there is a little bit out for the natural mind to comprehend that, but Jesus went through the cross to bring us into himself, because that's what fulfilled his joy, fulfilled the Father's joy, was us being redeemed. And that's why he gave that parable. He said, for joy set before him. Thank you, Jesus. Where do you think Jesus is now? What state do you think he's in? He's in a celebrative joy rapture, living in joy. Why? Because we're all there with him, enjoying life. Isn't that amazing? What a good God we have. Okay, Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, have a look at verse 21. The Lord said unto him, now this is another amazing this, okay? This is where Jesus gives them the talents, the 10, the 5, and the 1, or the king gives them the talents and says, I'm going to a far land, use these talents. And when he gets back, you know, the guy who had 5 has made 10, the guy who's had 2's made 5, 10, yeah, 2 made 4. The guy who has 1 didn't do anything. Well, this is the response of the king, verse 21. The Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Now look at the next phrase. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord, of thy Lord. Boy, that jumped out at me. And the same thing's repeated in the next to the next one. Verse 23, he said unto him, well done, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So that's how God describes his kingdom. The joy of the Lord, that is what my kingdom is about. You see that? Isn't that what it says? The joy of the Lord. If you're going to describe the kingdom of God, what is it? Joy. Now we just read earlier, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The joy is what manifests. Joy is what people see. John chapter 15, a few more verses. These ones, John obviously is a fairly well-known passage. We go to it quite regularly. John 15, verse 9 to 11. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. Ooh, you think Jesus wants you living in joy? Jesus was the happiest guy on earth when he was here. He lived in joy. Okay, go over to chapter 16, verse 20. Verily, verily, John chapter 16, verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. But you shall be sorrowful, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Now, this is obviously talking about when Jesus went to the cross. You're going to be sorrowful because I've left you, I've died. But your sorrow shall be turned to joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now, therefore, have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. That's the joy we now have, because we see Jesus. Alive and well, we are in him. Verse 23, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. In other words, you shall beg me nothing. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall demand, rightfully demand of the Father in my name, he will give it you. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 24, hitherto you have asked nothing, that's a word, verse I missed, nothing in my name. Ask, you shall receive, that what? That your joy might be full. Thank you, Father. We receive joy. We receive your joy. Hallelujah. John 17, last two verses. John 17, verse 13. This is Jesus' prayer. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Ooh. Do you think God wants you joyful? You think the kingdom of God is about joy? Having fun, celebrating God's goodness? How do you get it? God's already supplied it. You just have to receive it. 2 Peter 1, 3, he's already given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. Everything it needed to live in the joy of heaven is already supplied. We just read in John 16, ask, declare what is rightfully due. You are rightfully due the joy that exceeds anything you've ever experienced. Father, we receive it. Thank you. Amen. Romans 15, 13, last verse, says exactly that. This is Paul's prayer to the Romans. Now the God of hope, you know what hope is, right? The confident expectation of good, the knowledge that it's absolutely going to happen. It's It's not hoping it'll happen, it's knowing it will happen. Now the God of hope, the God who you know guaranteed, covenant guaranteed to do it, fill you all with what? Joy and peace. Fill you all with joy and peace. Joy, the celebration, the happiness, the enjoyment, the fun, the shouting for pleasure, whatever you want. And peace, shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken. Divine welfare. Fill you with both of those. How? In believing. In believing. If you don't believe it, you won't have it. The biggest job God has is getting us to believe how good he is. That's why we take communion, which we're going to do in a minute, right? We take it because Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Believe what I said, that my body has delivered you from the curse. My blood has made you righteous. Believe it. I have filled you with the joy of the Father. So what does it say here? That the God of hope, confident expectation, fills you with all joy and peace in believing. Why? That you might abound in hope. What's that? In the confident expectation of the grace of God manifesting in you. Everything God has covenanted for, everything he's promised in Scripture, we get to partake of. To read that last verse out of the Passion Translation. Okay, Romans 15, verse 13. Now may God, the inspiration and fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in him. Isn't that good? Now may God, the inspiration and fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect shalom, perfect peace, as you trust in him, as you believe in him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with his supernatural abundance until you radiate with hope. That's Romans 15:13 in the Passion Translation. Let me read it again. Now may God, this is Paul's prayer for each of us. This is what I declare over us. The God of hope, the inspiration and fountain of hope, fills you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace because you trust in him. May the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with his superabundance until you radiate with hope. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. And that's how it gets here. The Holy Ghost shed abroad in our hearts. His power releases it in us. His power has it flowing through us. Doesn't the scripture say, out of your innermost being shall flow what? Rivers of living water. You can translate that to rivers of joy, rivers of life, rivers of shalom, rivers of every good thing flow out of our innermost being. Why? By the power of the Holy Ghost in us. What do you have to do? Believe it. Isn't that what Jesus said? This is the work of the Father. Believe on him whom he sent. And Jesus just said, my joy is going to be in you. Believe on him whom he sent. Yep. Thank you, Father. We receive your joy. Thank you that it is released in us and we get to live in it. How do we do that? By that intimacy we have with him. Walking with him, living in him, knowing we are one with him, spending time with him. That's what releases the joy. Amen. Father, we thank you for what a good God you are. Thank you that your desire is for us to live full of joy, just like you live, that you have filled us with your joy. And we receive it, even this morning, Father, we receive it, and we choose to live in it. We choose to declare what you have said about it. We have all of your goodness flowing through us. Thank you, Father. I bless each one of us. I declare your life manifesting in us, and that we get to celebrate and enjoy you because of what you have done. Thank you, Father. Amen.